build the best football team in the SEC Conference. We're going to build the best football program in the SEC Conference.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Field.
It's been blocked again! How about it? It's been blocked again! It's going to heat one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game!
You have now arrived at Stadium and Field.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your boy Corey.
It's Dan.
And Del Torre.
Same corner, same time. Ugly week one. We got to come and talk about a different style show. For everybody that don't know, I know some people in my mentions saying, where the heck, what, you guys are ducking? No, we're not ducking, man. New time for the fall. We want to pull up when Billy's done with his pressures, which is good. Like, it's perfect today because the presser was super interesting. But I don't even want to get into my weekend. I don't think people care about our adventures of the weekend, the tailgate or anything. We'll talk about that later. But how y'all boys feeling? Y'all good?
Yeah, well, it's good to be here. Happy Labor Day to everybody. I heard the tailgate was pretty successful for all intents and purposes. That went well. But it might be time for a new intro. Right now, if you listen to us on YouTube or on Spotify, recently we've been playing a YouTube intro for the last couple years with a bunch of Billy Napier quotes about how we're going to build the best team in the SEC. And boys, just doesn't look like we're going to be the best team in the SEC.
Nah. He lied.
Is that the Security Exchange Commission?
Yeah, I mean, we got to get into it. I mean, right? Like, obviously, just a horrible.
Hold on. First off, Don Hall, if you could put that up there, 100%.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah,
I was nervous about the positivity.
I was bamboozled, and I led you astray, and I apologize. Yeah. No more positivity for me. We tried it out; it didn't fit. Didn't work. Hold on.
I know everybody wants to fire Billy, but I think we all got to look into firing the inside sources as well because, the team that we heard about that was coming from, like, just camp talk, just not the team that we saw on Saturday, man. It's just, I don't know. And to credit Nick, they don't get to see full games full scrimmages, full practice, or any of that. So he can only relay what he's getting from as a media guy. I know there's going to be some fans out there that are just rabid. They want to be mad at any and everybody right now. They're going to be mad at Nick, Zach, us as podcasters, but the practices aren't open. So the only messages that we can relay is coming from sources on campus at the practice, et cetera. So don't fire Nick. We got to fire the inside sources.
Yeah. Keep Nick. Well,
I mean, I thought Graham would be better second year. I don't think he looked very good. Obviously, certainly not on him. I told you the right side of the offensive line was not good. Said multiple times that's where I'm the farthest away from what the coaching staff and from a source are saying and from what I see and what I believe. The lie detector test determined that I was not lying. I don't know why they shuffled so many guys either. Like, Austin Barber was playing great, and I think he played like 27 of the 51 snaps. Like, pick five, play five. Don't play nine guys.
Right.
Defensive line, I told you, I didn't think that there was a all-SEC guy that they would play good because there was a bunch of them, and they'd be able to rotate and stay fresh. My guy Cam Ward was ticketed for loitering in the pocket, had all day. I think the only thing I was really wrong about was I thought the defense would take a big step forward. And outside of the linebacker play, I think the linebackers played really well. Pup Howard looked good. Shamar's okay. I think Shamar's a good player. We might make him
better
more than he is,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
I think he's a very good player. There's nothing wrong with him, but I think
Shamar's going to make a lot of money in the NFL, bro. He's a very good player.
Yeah.
These coaches.
We talk about him like he's all American.
I mean, he is at the right program. If he had taken that Alabama or that Georgia check that they was offering him this past offseason, then yeah, he is All-American type talent. But these guys aren't being coached up whatsoever.
And honestly, when
247 put out their rankings of blue chip talent, we're coming in at 11th. These guys don't go from 4 and 5 stars to forgetting how to play football or knowing how to like just pass rush. It's a coaching thing. We blamed the players last time when he took over with Mullen guys, but no, like Mullen guys weren't up to par. But these kids are high level kids, highly recruited guys that we beat even Miami out for, right? Mm-hmm. And you're losing with them in a terrible way. Like that outfit we put up, I don't know who we want to be on offense or defense. And this is year three. We don't have an identity at all.
They want to be in a perfect world. Billy Napier wants to look like Michigan looked like on offense. And I'm here to tell you, unless you're winning a national championship, and I think even if you win a national championship, no one in the
field
wants that. No, you will not like that. 3 yards out of dust. No, you would like the national championship that came, but it took Harbaugh 9 years to get to that point.
Bro, I would take Michigan any year over what I just saw from Billy Napier. Are you kidding me? Like, I don't know. That's Michigan. That's Western Michigan. We know we got Western Michigan's offense.
That's funny.
It's not Michigan Wolverines, like Michigan probably raccoons or some shit that we don't know about, but definitely not the Michigan Wolverines that I've been watching.
Yeah, so we'll go over it. Obviously, Gators lose 41-17 in a game that didn't even seem even that close. Kwame, a noted Miami fan, did give us a super chat, so we appreciate your money. Cam Morgan, him, the O-line is physical, the defense is nasty, all that together, belt to ass. I guess before we get into anything, I mean, Cam Ward played a really good game. He had some great passes. He was able to move the ball. They were able to score on a whim, and Miami looked like the much better team on Saturday, right? So beyond just the fact that Florida looked bad, Miami did look good. So
here's my thing.
Yeah.
That in the first quarter, I know we're talking about the offensive line, but I thought they had time somewhat in the first quarter. They wasn't just mauling us. Like, we had time. The play design was terrible. There was no rhythm. There was no chemistry to an offense. Like, when that first scripted drive didn't go score, I knew we had a problem right there, because usually our scripted drive go get us some type of points and we look good. The scripted drive didn't have no rhythm to it. And then, like I said, there was time where Graham had time to throw the ball in that first quarter. Like, he wasn't running for his life. You feel me? The run game never really picked up like I wanted it to in the first quarter. But when he dropped back to pass, it was just too many gimmicks. His guys running sideways, all these handoffs, motions, smoke and mirrors, but it's just no meat to the whole dinner, bro. It was just all sides.
Yeah, I think the first play of the game looked pretty good. After that, but
sometimes the sides are the best part, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, they can be.
Sometimes the sides are the best part, but this was Mari's aunt was cooking these sides.
Yeah, definitely who cooked the greens on Saturday.
So Graham Mertz goes 10 of 19 for 94 yards, missed on a couple deep balls to Elijah Badger, who I'm not sure if it was a chemistry thing, a bad throw. I'm not sure if it was Badger's fault. I'm not sure what it was, but no chance on either one of those. Probably went a little off script there in terms of trying to, I don't know if it's forced those deep balls or whatever it was, but it just didn't look like the offense was on the same page, and certainly not a great game for Graham Mertz, who then gets injured, is now in concussion protocol. DJ Lagway comes in, does throw an interception, but other than that, they do score a touchdown. I was able to move the ball with his legs too. So give me your thoughts just kind of on the offense, quarterback play, that kind of stuff.
It looks the same. Same guys calling plays. It looks the same. I think I said once, or maybe I don't know if I wrote it or said it, I talked too much. I said that I thought Billy Napier needed to hire an offensive coordinator to save himself before DJ Lagway can take over and save Napier's job.
Mm-hmm.
They promoted Russ Callaway. I asked Napier today if he was calling plays, if Russ was calling plays, if it was collaborative. The answer was kind of, you know, a jumble of words that didn't really answer it. Billy's calling the plays. It looks exactly like it did. And I don't know why. I didn't think it was going to look different. Also against Miami, because of that pass rush, by the way, which only had Reuben Bain for one drive.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Florida would go quick game. Yeah. Like Mullen, when he went to Mississippi State in 2018, he knew that he had four savages on the defensive line at Mississippi State that were going to be drafted. Hey, we got to get the ball out of our hands quick. We're not going to be able to block them up front. Screens, slants, jet sweeps. Just didn't see it. They were definitely trying to go east and west, but Miami was able to cover sideline to sideline. It's just the offense we've seen. Probably should have expected it. Don't know why we were expecting, or if you were expecting,
don't know why you were expecting
like completely different.
I think that there's talent at all the skill positions, from tight end to receiver to running back. Like, there's no question about the talent. The talent that offensive line was going to always be what we was watching to see if it got better. It's been heavily criticized, hasn't gotten any better with recruiting, development in any fashion. Offensive line is what it is. It's year three. I don't expect any of this to get better. Graham Mertz is as well. I think he's just at his ceiling. He is who he is. It's no punches at him, nothing, you know, to slight him, what he's done for the university already. He did give us decent play last year, but he's just a stopgap guy. Do I think DJ Lagway was ready to go out there and start game one, you know, versus Miami in that front? No, I don't think so. But for the rest of the season, how that just played out, I don't know how the season – I just don't see a way where Billy survives. I'm going to be real with you. I think Miami's like the 6th or 7th best team on our schedule. Like, I think we just look that bad, bro. Like, Miami is not the 72 Dolphins or anything crazy. Like,
we're just a bad football team.
And I think the more we get into SEC play, this team is going to get exposed more. And I don't see a way where he survives after that game right there. You're going to have to see Lagway. We spoke in the offseason, and I said, how do we see Lagway? I said, this Miami game could be it. Like, if you lose that, and I expected to see packages. Why don't we see Lagway until this kid goes down? The offense wasn't moving. You should have had some type of packages that Miami just couldn't prepare for at all because they had never seen this kid before or any of your planned attack with that kid. And clearly when he got in, he could play. Like, he's ready for that level of competition. So they should have had packages ready for him. The lack of preparation and that capacity, the lack of game planning, imaginations. Like, these guys are young coaches. If you're a young coach and you're inexperienced, you got to have imagination. There's no imagination. This is plain Jane. My son's little league football team got a more expensive offense than this. I'm not even joking, bro. Like, this may sound like I'm like trying to like have like get a joke in, but dead serious. There's no imagination to this, man. And I don't see, you know, a way that he keeps this job, bro. But the offensive line to where it is, the offensive coordinator that he just brought in, like, Ron Roberts didn't do anything that I thought he would do. The defense was just as plain. Nothing sexy or exotic was thrown at Cam Ward. Cam Ward sat back. Bro, I could have called where the blitzes were coming from. I could have called what coverages we were sitting in from my chair. So I know, like, there's no way he's going to survive this. You know, they got to be in search mode right now, in my opinion. And the rest of this way has got to be DJ Lagway.
Yeah.
It won't be. I'm telling you right now. I'll be surprised. I'm saying I'll be surprised.
Yeah. This staff hasn't done anything that made sense. So I'm with you. Like, of course they're not going to play.
Second, Graham Mertz clears concussion protocol, he will start. And mm-hmm. I think the worst thing that could happen almost to Florida, to Billy Napier right now, is where he is with the fan base. And we said, I said on this show, you guys said on this show, if he loses to Miami, there is a section of the fan base that will not come back. And we thought that was a 10-point loss to any loss to Miami.
Not Miami, I was out Saturday.
There is a large portion that I think a large vocal portion of the fan base that's out based on what you looked like against Miami. I think the worst thing that could happen, because like I said, Graham Mertz will start as soon as he's through concussion protocol. Worst thing that could happen is DJ tears up Samford. And by the way, Samford's just lost Stinks. To West Georgia.
West Georgia or West Florida?
West Georgia. Okay. Who started his football program in 1981, so it's 7 years older than me, and was playing in their first Division I football game. Just moved up to the FCS level and won.
And don't be educating me on these last programs, Nick. But okay,
the worst thing that could happen is DJ tears up Samford, who's terrible. Mm-hmm. Gets everyone excited. Graham clears concussion protocol. Graham would start against Texas A&M.
Right.
And I can already read the tweets and the message board posts. I can hear them in my head.
Yeah. I mean, that's the safe coaching call to do. I mean, he's not going to bench that kid in that fashion. I don't know what he's waiting on to hit the panic button, because it's time to panic, bro. You know, I do think we're going to handle Samford like a good offense versus Samford. That's how he made his money. Like, he out recruited the conference that he was in. He had more talent than everybody in that conference in the Sun Belt. And he dominated them by just out recruiting and evaluating that conference. Now that he got to get into his X and O bag, it gets a little bit more difficult when the talent is even. Like, we just got flat out coaching every capacity. I mean, we did find a way to get 11 on defense the entire time. I mean, on special teams the entire time. So close to that. The Matt did his job on Saturday. Good investment. We'll use that for the next coach.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, I mean, just kind of going over some numbers here. Cam Waits scored a 0 in pass blocking at the right tackle position in 31 snaps that he had. Just overall, just not great. Best pass blocker, according to PFF, was Damian George, Jake Slaughter, and Austin Barber. On run blocking, it was Austin Barber, Rod Kearney, and Jake Slaughter, but none of them really had great scores there. From a rushing perspective, not really a ton to write home about. Obviously, you had the Montrell Johnson run of 71 yards that they ran one time and then don't think they ran again. The entire game, but yeah, 11 rushes for 106 yards and a touchdown. Graham Mertz did have a fumble and an interception himself, but I mean, just overall everything, weren't able to get the tight ends involved, weren't really able to do much when it came to receiving. Elijah Badger had 43 yards. Eugene Wilson had 50. Khalil Jackson had one catch for 13 yards. DK had 11 yards receiving. I thought DK looked pretty good on punt return. But outside of that, I mean, just everything on offense was bad, right? And that's what Billy Napier was hired to be, was a former offensive guy. Nick, that's at least the side of the ball that he was on as he climbed the coaching ladder, right? Like, he probably got
Billy Napier was not hired for his
offensive prowess. No, but that's the side of the ball that he is on, and that should theoretically look better than it does. Just an abhorrent effort against a defense from Miami that was missing their best player on defense after the first drive, playing numerous freshmen, playing many guys that had very few snaps, just atrocious. And
I'm gonna tell you something.
Legway touchdown near the end of the game. Like, I mean, that's an absolute. I mean, this is one of the most, I don't know, disappointing losses in recent memory, right? Because expectations were higher. You're like, he finally has his guys. He's made some changes, but.
Not the right changes. That offensive coordinator, his ego costing him, bro. Like, from an organizational standpoint, CEO, he need to be that guy. Mario not calling his plays, man. Like, college football is to a place where the head coach cannot be, like, Kirby essentially could call his own defense, but he's not about to call his own defense. You know, like, you gotta be able to delegate around this game. You gotta be able to adjust. Billy didn't try to adjust whatsoever. It feels like he hired a lot of young yes men, you know, in a lot of different capacities, because our staff is very young. If you look at the defensive coordinator hire he made last year, like, in hindsight, these hires are abysmal. The lack of changing and to get an OC after year one. We should have not had to even see that crazy-ass offense for 2 years, bro. Mm-hmm. Now we got to see it for three? Nah, bro. Go get Urban off the couch, because nobody can interim. If we fire this man, who's about to enter him, man? Get Urban off the couch and come. You're going to enter him. Like,
oh, yeah, no, really we're gonna welcome some folks on if you want to be on the show.
Just go ahead. Just call Herb right now.
I know you said you had time for State Even Gale at any point this year, but yeah, let's we got Lyle.
I asked him, was he busy next year? You know,
yeah, he said he no. He didn't seem like he had a ton of obligation outside of a big noon kickoff. Yeah. All right, Lyle, you're here. Like I said, we're doing a quick call and show. Oh, we got to do a Brent Adderley, then we'll bring Lyle on. Go ahead, Corey.
Oh, one time for the great folks at Brunt Insurance and Financial Services. Brett. Oh my God, what a day. Yeah, I'm exhausted, man. It's been a long weekend. Greg was at the tailgate kicking it with us, man. Great folks, always holding us down over here at the network. 954-589-2204. If you need home, auto, your life insurer, some financial services, my man Greg can point you in the right direction. Give him a call. A quote is totally free. I guarantee you he can beat whatever price that you have for insurance right now in any of those capacities, man. 954-589-2204. Big coverage, Brunt Insurance. Most of the Southeast. I'm not sure exactly every state, but most of the Southeast. Just give them a call and find out.
If you're listening in the Southeast, you probably got you. All right, we're going to welcome Lyle onto the show. If you want to be on, just hit the Stamen Gale Twitter account, X account, whatever it might be. All right, Lyle, what do you got, brother?
What's up, fellas? How are we doing?
Good. Living. What do you got? What do you got?
Good. First of all, Nick, congrats.
Thank you. It's awesome, man.
Yeah, change your life. I say this. I mean, I spent all offseason, and maybe I'm that guy that everybody talks about being just a over the top diehard. I'm not sure. I convinced myself all offseason that three of those losses last year should have been wins, right?
Yep.
Same. You know,
I thought, you know, and ifs and buts and candy and nuts, all that stuff, but so I thought for sure, you know, things were going to be a little bit different this year. I thought, you know, the defense was going to take a step forward. Maybe not. I'm not talking about a top 10 defense. I'm, you know, top 50 be nice.
Yeah.
You know, and then on top of that, and then you go out there and you look like that. That's terrible. I was very hopeful for Napier and he's not going to make it. It doesn't matter what happens the rest of the way. Unless, I mean, outside of running the table and winning a national championship, which we all know isn't going to happen, I don't think he's here next year. I think those people find the money somewhere and move on.
Hey, loud. Them folks are jumping all over our statues and furniture out there, bro.
I believe it. It's terrible.
Yeah, we gotta get Billy out of here, bro. Because we can't have people running around our city. They act like they've never seen a statue before, bro. Like y'all never been on a Miami fans. Y'all never went to a away game before. Like, no. Be respectful, bro. Y'all. That's why nobody wants to do a home at home with y'all. Y'all don't know how to stay off like people's furniture, bro. I've seen somebody licking it.
Because they don't play games at their own.
They don't have a home.
University, you know what I mean. So their statues are safe. You know, they just got statues like Dan Marino, and
they're putting their feet up on everyone else's couch because they don't have a couch.
Now, that's the only troll we got is they don't have a home.
We're gonna drive it into the ground, Lyle.
the really disappointing part, Lyle, and let me know if you feel this way. It's like you had 8 months to get ready for this game. You were hired. I think it was Mark Long asked the question today if Billy now questions how he's gone about building his roster because he wanted to build it through high school and supplement through the portal. Mario and Dan's company, Life Wallet, went heavy into the portal initially. To me, it looked like a playoff contender playing an FCS team who was just there to get a check and play. And you've had the exact same amount of time as the guy you were coaching against to get your team ready, and right. 8 months to prepare for that game. And then that's what it looks like.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, man. And, you know, I go back to last year's games, kind of the same thing. And really, it kind of makes you question the Utah game in 2022. You know, had they actually been prepared and ready to go for that game, is that game as close as it was? Probably not. I mean, Anthony Richardson, you know, we all know he played lights out. You're either getting lights out or you were getting a dud. It was one or the other, right?
Right.
So I was upset after 2022, a little bit upset after 2023. At this point, I don't even want to watch. I don't even want to watch him play, man. I'll go watch good football. You know, that's what I want to watch is good football.
Now, I'm gonna watch these boys rain, sleet, or snow.
I'm gonna watch them. I'm the same way. Yeah, so
I feel you. I know where you're coming from, though. it's gonna be a tough watch, but I'm gonna watch like with hiring in mind. Like, I got fresh lives on the way this winter, so I got that perspective. But I do want to see how the young boys play, because when season start going bad, they're gonna start shuffling guys around. So I just want to keep an eye on who's doing what and how they're developing from that standpoint. And I cheer for the logo. You know, the colors and in the school, not for the coaches. These coaches, bro, I'm so used to it. It's just the next one, bro. I supported every Gator coach that came through that door. I'm gonna support the next one. Hopefully, we make a great hire. But I'm gonna watch these boys play football every Saturday. I'm gonna wait to 7 o'clock, watch my guys play Sanford. This may be the only win, Lyle.
Yeah, right. No doubt. There's a good chance we go 1-11.
You gotta enjoy it, baby.
Like Nick always says, the people in Vegas don't build palaces because they're wrong.
And I went against him, Lyle, like some kind of idiot. I went against him.
I think it's the way we lost, the way we lost. All right, Lyle, we're going to get you out of here. Got a couple people waiting. Right, but thanks for coming on,
appreciate
brother.
Appreciate you hopping in, brother.
No problem. Take
all right, Lyle.
All right.
I went against Vegas.
We got Terrell White here.
How you doing? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you, brother.
All right, so I just got a couple quick questions, man. I've been a Florida fan since like the 1990s. Like, I went to high school with Percy Harvin. I'm from the 757 era. I was been a big Florida fan.
DMV.
But just watching the game Saturday, do you feel like we put our best players on the field? The reason I say this, because I don't think Montrell Johnson was healthy, right? That's number one. He almost got hawked on that 70-yard touchdown run by whoever that defense and the outside linebacker. I feel like the JUCO transfer has a lot more wiggle, can get to the edge, and I feel like Jordan Baugh has like shifty feet. His feet remind me of like Kelvin Taylor. We can jump cut, get to the outside, and make moves like that. Do you guys agree? Did you see that on the film or when y'all was watching the game?
Yeah, I was surprised a little bit about Jacoby Jackson. Like you said, I think he's got that wiggle. And I think Jaden Ball's got a ton of potential. And not even like down the road potential, like potential to be a player right now. There's just more than carrying the ball. I think in terms of pass protection, like, that's Montrell, better than anyone else in that room. I know we don't like to talk about it, but you look at Arliss Boardingham try to block on Saturday, and it doesn't look good. And people are like, I don't care if he can't block. He needs to play because he can catch passes. And then you see him block, and you're like, get him off my field. I'm like, well, like, there's reasons. It's more than just catching passes at tight end. It's more than just running the ball. I do think, and we've said all offseason, I think Florida's not really going to miss Trevor Etienne because I like Montrell a lot. I didn't really know. I was unfamiliar with Jacoby Jackson's game. But I think he looked good. And I like Jaden Baugh. We didn't really see KD Daniels, but I think he's a guy who, with the ball in his hands, nasty. So, like, I think the running back room is set, but I'm a Montrell Johnson fan. So
yeah, no, I mean, I think
Montrell, from a biased standpoint here,
he had a fine game. There's only 22 carries by running backs in that game. Well, I lied. There was 18 carries by running backs in that game. So I think that I think Montrell probably still deserves the lion's share. I do think that there's reason to be impressed with Jacoby and Jaden, but when you're only running the ball 18 times, I mean, who do you take snaps away from if there's other components of the play that might be called? So that was tough, but you know, I was impressed at least. That's the least of my concerns right now, I think.
And I guess my follow-up question. Oh, go ahead.
No, you're good, bro. I was just trying to process it a little bit what everybody was saying, because everybody said a little bit of what I was going to say as far as like the competition. Running back room, I don't think Montrell's 100% healthy. I'm with you on that take. While he looked good enough to play, and you expect the guy who's been around the program that long, a veteran guy, to actually push through and try to play in a game like that. But I do think one of the hotter hands, one of the fresher legs, like that whole room could play. And if you're getting 1 yard in a cloud of dust, like get a ball to somebody else, see if they can spark something, because he's not 100% healthy. And they know that behind the scenes that he's definitely not 100% healthy. So I don't know, bro. Like, I don't think competition is the issue on this team. I just think these guys aren't coached up well at all. I don't know what they're doing in practice, but this team is not coached up very well at all. The offense doesn't create space in any capacity for the run or the pass. It's a lot of like just dressing and like window dressing, but there's not a lot of, like I said earlier, meat to this, man. The vertical offense is very uncreative. There's nothing, yeah. Even when we go with our misdirection, it's not that misdirected. You know, it's just lacking.
Is that ranch? Is that ranch offense?
Just ranch light. Ranch light. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a balsamic vinegar.
It's a fat-free ranch.
Yes.
No buttermilk. Yeah, it's an olive oil ranch.
Yeah, for sure.
And my last question is, like, I've listened to you guys. I listened to other Florida podcasts, and I heard so much about the speed and like the 10x1 guy. I'm not gonna say 10x1, but the 100 guys that we recruited, as far as like Aiden Mizell. I feel like Aiden Mizell should be running Elijah Badger plays. Those post routes should be Aiden Mizell plays, right? Even if moving forward in future games, if everybody knows he's a deep threat, at least you can use him a decoy. He may pull a safety over the top or something if he catches a couple. Or like, why don't we use like Trey Wilson in the same exact plays that Restrepo gets, the little whip routes where he basically killed Asa Turner on that little 3rd and 5 and he took it for 20 because no one could tackle him. Where is the openness in the offense is my only issue. Yeah. Like, I've always said Florida my entire life from the 90s to now, like, defense was never what Florida was known for. Yeah, we had Charlie Strong, we had Will Muschamp, DJ Durkin, and Jeff Collins. But you always had an excellent passing game to a certain extent, right? Rex Grossman, Chris Leak. Like, did he not understand what he was getting into when he took the job and understanding Florida? Like, the speed there, you have to utilize it at all capacities in all positions. That's my biggest issue.
Yeah. No, I would 100% agree. And I don't know why we should be surprised, right? We hired an offensive coordinator that 2 years ago was an analyst, last year was a tight end coach, and then gets promoted, and obviously a guy that's going to run the same system with, you know, ultimately the CEO getting final approval. So I don't know why we expected maybe things to be different, but not getting the ball in space, no rhythm to the play calling, right? I think your first play of the game on offense, you go and you get a first down, and then plays 2, 3, and 4 have no rhythm, and then you have to punt the ball, right? So I think that you saw that throughout. I think they tried to push the ball downfield on those plays with Elijah Badger trying to get to score. They just didn't seem to have an offensive identity again, and now we're, 13, 25, 26 games into Billy Napier's career at Florida. I just don't know what the identity of that team is, other than soft and just absolute piss poor recruiting and development on the offensive line.
Yeah, man.
Yes,
thank
sir.
I appreciate the time, man. Thank you for letting me come up and voice my displeasure of what we all witnessed on Saturday.
Absolutely, man. We appreciate you. All right, we got Braxton,
offensive line coach. Braxton,
he can't lie this time. What do you got, Braxton?
Come on, Braxton. No. Don't fall into what Silk's doing. I know you got lies cooked up.
No, I'm not lying. He lying by himself.
I still got lies.
Let's go, Braxton.
All right.
This is crazy.
I saw the game. I went back and watched it earlier today. I had posted some.
Sorry to hear that.
Post some clips on Twitter, seeing what happened. From what I've seen, I saw Graham Mertz holding the ball too long and taking too many sacks of his own. Like,
yeah.
He was in a pocket one time, and the dude was running straight at him. And the play was like, we had people wide open. He didn't even try to move out the way. He just took the sack. I'm like, at least trying to move around. The dude was like a free blitzer straight at him. And he was looking that way the whole time. I'm like, what is he looking at? And then there was like a lot of plays. Like, you remember the first drive? Like, he tried to throw a route to the tight end. He had overthrew him and it had went out of bounds. He was open, like, way earlier than when he
– There's a lot of people open, bro. Like, I'm going to be real with you. Because
the line was blocking. It was like a perfect pocket. He was just looking down.
The thing is, like, when I see people open, I be, like, curious on, like, the pecking order of the reads as well, right? And me thinking that Graham Mertz is going to get through all 4 or 5 reads in a smooth way is just asking, you know.
It's a lot.
A lot. Yeah. You're asking a lot, you know. But I just think, ultimately, bro, they're not developing this team. Like, I watch football all weekend. We're one of the most we're terrible, bro. Like, yeah, from a lot bad. Of different standpoints, we look bad, bro. And I'm just thinking, like, Muschamp era, I knew we was going to come out there, can't pass the ball, we're snot, but our defense is going to shut everything down. We're going to run the ball. and we're probably gonna be good running the ball in between tackles. Brent Peace had about 9 plays, but he dressed them up beautifully in different formations, and they were productive, and we almost went and got us one with him, right?
Coach Herman Boone, I got 6 plays. Give them time. They work like no.
They work. But even with McElwain, he thrived off of, you know, the players that Champ left defensive-wise, but we knew what we was getting. We were at least going to get a very good defense and be able to play some football, and hopefully we get a break on offense on special teams. This team isn't good in one capacity. And we see the talent. We know the speed all over this field. Like the last guy, just this speed everywhere. Verified speed. That's what they lean on. When they start evaluating, the first thing they want to know, that's what Billy said. Verified speed. Bro, we look slow as molasses, and it's not the players. Yeah. It's this slow design offense, and it goes sideways too much. If I'm a DB, I'm playing on my ball of my feet on this offense, bro. Like, everybody's playing on the ball of their feet coming downhill because everything's being played in front of me. That's a DB's dream.
Mm-hmm. I was looking at the offense. I'm like, everybody else offense looked fun to look. Like, LSU offense looked good, but they didn't win, but it still looked fun. Like,
it looked, Zach, yeah.
Bro, USC, hey boy, Doug's boy can throw a football. My goodness.
Glad you changed it.
USC had a USC offense. They got Zachary Branch. We have a Zachary Branch. Eugene Wilson can be Zachary Branch. They're like, what? You're not doing the same plays as them. They have, like, the literally same skill set as us. I'm like, there's no way we're that bad. And now the offenses look the same from last year. The same old RPO, the running back behind the quarterback again. Like, we might as well just go to the shotgun and just you can't keep running the same offense because we don't have the O-line to run the same offense. The O-line is not good enough to run that offense.
Let me ask you this, Brax. So here's the craziest part about all of this. Everybody in the world saw the same offense for 2 years and kept saying, yo, this guy needs to get an OC. And it didn't happen. Like, we've all seen this. And, man, you're talking about just stubborn ignorance. Like, this is crazy. You got all the resources in the world to be a successful coach at the University of Florida, and you decided not to use them when you can see, like, it's just self-awareness. Like, bro, it's not working. I got this opportunity to be successful at a top-tier program in America. Let me make some changes. But the changes, it just wasn't there, bro. Go ahead. Get off. It's your show.
I'm looking at the OC. He's in the booth. You don't think he's calling no plays? Or did he just copy the same plug against Billy Napier to just say, yeah, Billy Napier, move me up. I got to show my respect to Billy Napier. And he's scared to call some plays that's different from Billy Napier?
I don't know if we know, right? And I don't know if we'll ever get an exact answer on what the OC is and who's calling plays or what percentage of plays are getting called. I don't think Billy Napier is ever going to share that information. Unfortunately. So, I mean, certainly,
yeah,
nothing yesterday showed me or on Saturday showed me that there's any difference between the last two seasons and Saturday.
Because when DJ got in, the offense looked totally different. It was running slants for Eugene and it was running the defense looked, the offense looked way different. Didn't it have like the same?
Yeah. They were down 41-10.
Yeah.
And it was second team versus second team and LSU's not really concerned if DJ Lagway throws for 150 yards during the last 7 minutes of the game, because they were losing. Miami, sorry. Miami. Got the Nussmeier still in my brain.
Like, I'm just
I'd rather lose like that LSU, though.
We got to score at least 70 points this weekend to get you back on the Billy train.
Buddy, that's a good month. What do you mean? Bro, 70 points.
We got to score at least 70 or 60 points.
No, we can score 700. I'm going to be ready. I'm looking for a new coach, bro. There ain't nothing he could do for me.
Fire up the PlayStation if you want 70, bro.
We're going to the playoffs. We still go to the playoffs. You got to win 9 games. We're going down to 4.
Stop it.
9 games. You're going to win 9 games.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for coming.
Happy. Brax has been at the pool drinking all day, celebrating Labor Day.
Shout out to you, Braxton, man. you were able to touch some sand this weekend. And, man, I appreciate you coming on the show.
It's over, dog.
Hey, Braxton, we still got baseball season, bro.
Yeah, we're going to the World Series again. We're going to win that.
Yeah, we got basketball.
All right, Brax, hold it down, my boy.
Appreciate you. All right, we got Trip here. Trip, what's going on, brother?
How y'all doing?
Good. What's up, brother?
Good. I'm alive, brother.
All right. So I guess, like, you guys have hit everything on the on-field aspect of our shitter on Saturday. it was just bad. And I honestly, I don't think that there's much way that Billy comes back from this, at least with the fan base. I think it was Nick retweeted earlier something about Scott Strickland canceling an appearance on a podcast on Thursday.
Yes.
I was wondering if you guys think that there's any smoke to him, I don't know, either stepping down or getting removed.
I hope so.
That's why, or do you think it was just some public shaming there that he just doesn't, want to be in the public eye this week, for which I wouldn't blame him?
Yeah, I would imagine that Pat Dooley's probably not going to put Scott Strickland. That's whose podcast he's going to be on, Scott Strickland, into hot of water just because of their relationship and the connection that Pat Dooley has there. I don't know if there's any other details that have been released or will be released. This is something that I said on a radio spot that I was on last week. I said the toughest thing that Florida can find themselves in is not frustration just with Billy Napier, him wanting to get fired again, frustrated watching on Saturdays. It's apathy and people stopping to give money and people saying, hey, I want to start seeing a return on my investment, or people giving away tickets or stop going to games. When it starts to impact beyond just firing a coach, the financial impacts of it, that's when I think a decision will be made. And, Florida's got an interim president right now. Kent Fox came back. With Ben Sass stepping down from his role. So I'm not sure if Kent Fox is in a position where he's going to want to make that call.
By the law, he can.
What I'm saying is I'm not sure if he feels like in the interim period that he has, if he's going to make that decision. I will say this, that I have been a Florida Gator fan for a long time, and I've been very connected to the program for, we'll say, almost 20 years now. I have never seen this much discontent and this much apathy in that time. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But Scott Strickland certainly canceling on Thursday is not great for him. I don't think that he's been a very open and outgoing athletic director to the fan base for the last few years now, certainly with the donors he has. But I think that right now it's high time for Florida to start figuring out some solutions in their athletic department. Cause right now the last thing that you can afford is apathy in a state of NIL, in a state of needing vast amounts of money.
I see. I disagree. Right. Cause I don't think there's apathy. I almost,
from
stuff we're talking about, I think there's almost a rally of those boosters, not in Billy Napier's favor, almost in a rally of hey, If it keeps looking like this, the checks will be written and we'll take care of it.
Yeah, it might be a little bit of that. What I saw was a completely dull crowd to start the game from everybody that I heard and what you could hear on TV. I heard Cam Ward say that Oregon was louder, USC was louder. I've seen a lot of people starting to look to give away tickets. It's not just apathy doesn't have to be a singular emotion. Sure. I think that you don't need just the big boosters, right? The Gary Condrins and the Hughes and the rest of those that are giving big money. Obviously their opinion's going to matter a lot, but it's your average fan that's driving up from Tampa or from Jacksonville or Orlando or South Florida, them stopping to come, them not going anymore. That, I think, is what is going to create a big domino as well. And I think that that's where we're at. We have 600 and some odd people watching right now. So maybe there's not as much apathy as I think. But that's where I think you could ultimately get. Maybe it's not today, but maybe it's in 5-6 weeks.
Yeah, we're not. Listen, I'm, per my job, on message boards and Twitter, we have not gotten to apathy. We are certainly still in anger. We have not gotten to apathy yet. It's tough. I didn't see that game coming. I didn't see that outcome. And there's probably a million ways to lose a football game. And the only worse way Florida could have done it would to have been shut out.
Yeah.
Outside of not scoring a single point, it doesn't get any worse than what you look like. So I understand the anger, and I asked players and asked Billy multiple times all year. I was like, do you know what this game means to the fan base? What this rivalry means to the fan base? Do you get that? Florida is 1-9 versus rivals, outscored by more than 100 points. It's just not acceptable. Yeah.
It's quick not shot. Quick shout out. I do want to give, yes, a lot of folks drive from Georgia and Alabama to the Swamp. Don't want to forget you guys, the people that come and spend a lot of money. People flew from all over the country, potentially even all over the world from this game there. And then, yes, please do hit the like button while you're here. So what are your thoughts? Apathy, anger, obviously. What are your thoughts there? You're on mute. You might have been checked out.
Hello?
Oh, nah, my bad, man. Nah, get me a coach, bro. Like, I don't have, like, just get me a coach. Man, I mean, you can feel it, bro. I didn't go inside the game, so I watched the game from the tailgate. And, you know, at halftime, when the game still wasn't completely over, I was surprised how many people were leaving and going to cars, just to be real with you. So I think people are just fed up, man. It's just like, I don't even think it's just to the Napier thing. People are kind of fed up with just the entire process, man. We're rotating coaches, and it's not a lot of success. And each time that we fire a coach, we all start lying about these big names that are coming every time. You know, like every single time we fire a guy, it's going to be Chip Kelly. It's going to be, you know, you name it. It's always a big name that we never end up getting.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think fans are just fed up with that, bro. They're doing this process over every 3 to 4 years. A lot of people, like, didn't ignore red flags with Billy. People just are tired of this same process. And they want to see success because, like everybody's saying, they spend a lot of money to come to these games. People are passionate about this this team, this game. You know, like, it's deeper than just, like, the score on a Saturday.
Yeah,
it's a prideful thing. And after that game and what we saw on Saturday, it was a lot of, like, prideful things. Like I said, them jumping all over statues, the way it went down, the way we lost, the way they was approaching the recruits, leaving the stadium, like, all of that, bro, I just think it's struggle core that he just can't come back from. And I think they need to be active right now with trying to find a replacement and getting that conversation going. I don't care. There's no such thing as too early, in my opinion. So I just think, like, the way this is all went down, I think people just tired of doing this process, and they need to go get a home run hire, a big name that has been successful already, that has competed at the highest level already. No more projects. No more let's get behind this guy and rally and see what he could do and build something. No, bro. Go get a proven coach. Spend money, because fans spend a lot of money to get to this stadium and the support. Like, the 93,000 is like the Popeyes, bro. The Swamp was like the Popeyes lady this weekend. Remember the Popeye when the chicken sandwich came out and she was tired because she had made chicken sandwiches all day? That was the Swamp on Saturday.
Yeah.
Well, here's the other thing.
I can't care this guy anymore.
Because Dan was mentioning that. Did you went into the stadium? So
No, thank God I didn't, bro, because I would have been hot. What?
So sitting in the stadium, like, and the student section always gets mad at me because I tweet that they don't show up on time. And listen, I get it. I was a college student, and I show up on time, but definitely drunk. Everyone was there early. The place was good. There was a vibe. There was electricity in the stadium. Miami wins the toss, defers. So you're quiet now. And Florida goes 5 and out. Miami goes down the field and scores. Florida goes 3 and out. The stadium was just waiting for a chance to get involved in the game. And Florida refused to allow the fans to do anything. Montrell Johnson goes for 71. The top blown off the stadium. It's alive. They're ready for it again. Miami methodically drives down the field and scores. The Swamp was trying to make an impact, and Florida would not allow it to happen.
Swamp tired of carrying the load, man.
Yeah, I was there. I actually drove down from Virginia for the game. Still on my way back, so I was like thoroughly disappointed. Like, I mean, in years past, like, they're like, we didn't really get taken out of the game ever that I can remember, let alone 5 minutes into the game, at least from a fan base perspective. And that was, like, really disappointing for me. You know, I mean, I'm driving 10 hours each way to, you know, go see the Florida Gators. And, you know, I was hopeful. I was drinking the Kool-Aid all off season.
Same.
And I don't know. I fully convinced myself that, you know, if a few things go our way during the season, that we could have a, you know, a resurgence, you know, not, maybe not a 11-1, 10-2, but at least an 8-4, something to give us hope, something to, you know, build on for DJ next year. But I mean, at this point, I think we do have to start looking somewhere, and I don't think it should be from the power or from the group of five.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, though. I love I love Jamie Chadwell at Liberty.
Mm. Man, get that the hell up out of here.
Listen, no,
no,
it.
No, bro. Hell no. Hell no.
I get it. Since I've been here, this is my 12th season. It's my fourth coach.
No.
Florida coaches have the career span of a fifth-round drafted running back in the NFL since I've been here. I get it. I get it. It's not a place to learn. I'm just saying I like Jamie Chadwell.
I'm just not telling saying you that's that not, that it's going to go over like a ton of bricks.
That's no inside information. I'm not saying that's the guy. I'm just saying
I'm like, not saying that I don't think that Jamie Chadwell couldn't be a good coach. I'm not saying that there's not the next great coach somewhere like that's him. In the group of five right now. Or at a smaller Power Four school right now. But if Billy Napier gets fired and Jamie Chadwell gets hired, I mean,
Mike and Hat, baby.
We might just need to fold up the podcast. Stadium and Gale LLC is just
100%.
You know, we got to focus on new things on Saturdays. All right, Trip, we're going to let you go. Drive safely, brother. We got a couple more people waiting.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, bro.
Appreciate you.
All love.
I do want to hit a couple super chats before we get in there. JP, man, I appreciate you. Big, big super chat here. Might be a long season, but I think the boys are going to snap back. Sometimes you got to get punched in the mouth. Let's see how they respond. Outright embarrassing showing. Shaking my head. Nick, congratulations on the beautiful addition to your family. Many blessings. Thank you so much, JP. Lauren, we appreciate your super chat earlier. What do we make of Strickland dodging Dooley's podcast? It was announced he wants a rain check as it was planned to be on the show Thursday. We talked a little bit about that. We can talk a little bit more about that after. Before we move on, go visit our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks. You get a beautiful cup, a bunch of new stuff out there, SEC cups, UF cups, a lot of different stuff out there. Go check them out. Use promo code STADIUM15 at checkout. Get you 15% off of your order. Again, GameTimeSidekicks.com, promo code STADIUM15. Kay has been waiting patiently here. Kay, what do we got, brother?
What's up, man? Just real quick, man, I've been a Gator for a long fucking time. Mm-hmm. And also, Nick,
same.
Congratulations on the baby, brother. I hope everything's good.
Real healthy.
Hell yeah, that's all you can ask for. I just really think deep down, and we've been Florida Gator fans for forever, most of us. That shit was embarrassing, bro. that shit was so crazy. And it wasn't even like Cam had to make throws, right? And I will say that because I coach football and I played football my entire life. He made some really good throws in that game. Like, you can't take that away from him. I will say that. And the defense was in position a lot of the time, way better than last year, to counteract those throws, like to make the tackle right there. And even Pup and fucking Shamar James were playing their ass off. They were playing their ass off. But offensively,
yeah,
dude, that was bad. Like, you say, okay, yeah, we're going to get Trey Wilson the ball. The offense is going to go through Trey. And he has 3-4 catches in the first half. Not even trying to give him, like, a jet sweep. Not even trying to get him out in space. You know what I'm saying? One or two times. You're just trying to run inside zone on 3rd and 5. Why the fuck are you doing that? Sorry for cussing.
Yeah, no, it's the setup.
No, I get it.
Fourth down. That's why they ran the inside zone on 3rd and 5 so they could set up for their fourth down. Conversion.
But the thing is, and the tendencies, like, everybody in the world know that's Billy's philosophy and tendencies right there. Like, any decent coach know, okay, this third down, that they're most likely going to run this because they want to go for it on fourth. Like, I would teach this all, like, camp or preparation up leading up to this game. Situational football. Like, this is what this guy normally does. This is their tendencies on third, short, and iffy situations where they may want to go for four downs. They're going to run the ball 9 times out of 10 on that third down.
Yeah,
and it's soft football, bro. Go get to the sticks, man. Like, why put your team in losing situations? Like, try to avoid those situations. But you don't trust a sixth year quarterback. Play the young boy. I get tired of these coaches around the country playing old quarterback they don't trust. Have some balls, bro. Like, Nick Saban had an old quarterback he trusts and benched him, a Heisman guy, and benched him for a freshman. These guys have old quarterbacks that they don't trust, and they try to hide the offense around quarterbacks. No, play the young boy if you don't trust him. You could, like, cater a real soft offense around him and grow with him, but I don't want to vent, man. It's your session. Go ahead. My bad, bro. I didn't mean to take over.
No, you're good, bro. I feel the same way, man. Like, And I won't even say Graham is bad, bro, because without last year, bro, if we didn't have Graham, like, I don't even know what happened. I'm super grateful for him. You know what I'm saying? But I think that the offense, like, and I feel like there's a lot of pressure too. Like, they were probably, like Billy said it all offseason, we want deep passing plays. Like, we want to stretch the field. And I think Graham was just looking down the field, like, just waiting for people to get open. Yeah, he was just trying. Mm-hmm. But that pass rush was just getting back there. And I don't even say, like, the left side of the line, doing their job, doing great. But Cam Waits, dude, that was a stinker.
Yeah.
He was getting bullied the whole game. I'm like, watch this. I'm like, yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen somebody get a zero on PFF for block. Yeah, I mean,
I've never seen that before in my life.
Zero is crazy.
That's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. Turn in the homework and get a zero back. It's like,
if no, it's like, Christmas like, listen, career, bro. Give me a 0.1 no offense, for handing it in.
Yeah.
Like, yo, I put my cleats on. I can't get a 0.2 for that. One for each of
showing up. Yeah.
And I just don't know, like if we do start over, right? Honestly, I like Billy. I think he's a genuine dude. He reminds me a lot of like my high school coach I had.
What do you like about him at this point? I like when people say that. What do you like about him now?
I honestly just like that he is like a personal guy with his players and like with the staff and everything. Like, he seems like a dude, like a good dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. But good dudes don't win football games, bro. They don't. And people are like, yeah. Oh, hire Lane. And I don't like Lane. I think Lane's an asshole. And I think that this fan base would not be able to deal with him on a day in, day out basis, because he's petty. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it ain't working, man. It's not working.
Lane is Dan Mullen with better PR. Or Dan Mullen with better tweets. He's not going to recruit. The Grove Collective, the money that the Grove Collective is paying to get guys to come to Oxford, Mississippi. Is recruiting.
But you still,
Lane's not a great recruiter. Now, Lane is X's and O's, like Dan, great. I think the offense is fun. Lane will go find some. Lane's going down to Coral Gables, or he's not going to. He would need Florida to go down and pay some guys in Coral Gables, pay some guys in Broward County, West Palm Beach County to come up. But if he can get some speed, Lane would have a fun offense. But Lane's not a great recruiter.
Recruiting is overrated now, man. It's payola, bro. I think you go get a guy, in my opinion. Don't you ever bring up that Liberty coach again on this show, man. I might shut the whole program down. Like, we can't have that type of talk on here, bro. We gotta talk. Yeah, don't not bring that guy on here, bro. I think you gotta go have a proven guy. You know, I don't like the shenanigans of how Lane Kiffin do a lot of things. I think he's very unprofessional in a lot of different ways. But this shit, like he said, nice guys don't win football games. And I do think recruiting has come down to pay now. It's not that serious, man. If the University of Florida is serious about the football, they need to go get a proven guy. If the guy can't recruit, it's paid for play. Like, go buy you a roster. Just like Miami just bought a roster. Mario Cristobal can't coach. You know, they bought a roster. So you go get a guy that can X and O call, that can hire well, and you go buy a roster, bro. And it don't matter if it's Lane Kiffin, whoever it is, but you don't let the lack of so-called recruiting, bro. We see what it is now. These kids are signing to the biggest check. If you got a bad, they're going to come and play.
And if your offensive line coach is your best friend, I don't want you.
Nope. Like,
don't hire none of your friends.
What if you have three offensive line coaches? Maybe that's the issue.
Maybe that's what we're missing. Maybe that's what we're missing.
Don't have enough of them.
Look, Rob Sale, bro, like, I get it. People want the formula or whatever. Bobby, he's got to go, bro. Like, if God forbid,
all of it got to go.
We go through the whole season, bro, and they keep Billy. You gotta fire Rob, bro. You can't do it. You can't, bro. You haven't got I wouldn't say over. You haven't gotten a 5-star rated O line prospect in how long at UF?
I think last was like David Sharp.
My friend David Sharp.
No, we got Ivy after that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, we did get Ivy.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah. Like, what, 8-9 years? 8-9 years ago?
When was the last 5-star offensive lineman that Florida got that even played like a 5-star offensive lineman? Wasn't Sharp, wasn't Ivy.
I mean, the Pouncies
were probably Humphreys.
The Pouncies were like 3 stars.
No, one Pouncey was a high four-star.
Marquise was a four-star. Mike was a three-star. I don't even remember the last highly rated five-star that we had that played that well. Whatever it is, Florida's trenches on both lines of scrimmage got absolutely mauled this game.
Yep.
Not just and the offensive line. The defensive line was just as bad as the offensive line.
Yeah. Like, I would say, like, Boone, in the beginning of the game, like, he was getting some decent push. And then after that roughing the passer call, it was like he was fucking invisible. It was like, damn. Like, where did he go?
That was a bad call, but it don't even matter.
It was a bad call. Yeah. But I'll say this. I won't keep y'all too long. I know there's more people in here. The hot board is up. And honestly.
Who you got, cuz?
Top three. Here we go. You ready? You might not like it. Lance Leopold at Kansas. He turned that program. They were the butthole of their conference.
Silk's gonna kick you out of here. You say Jamie.
No, Chadwell. I got. No. Don't say Chadwell, bro. We got it.
No. No, not even close.
Who you got?
You got some respect on Jamie's name.
Lance Leopold.
I like Leopold though. I talked very positive about Leopold last year. I like his offense. You know, I don't know like if because a lot of his culture. I don't know culture wise if he's a fit. But go ahead. Who you got?
Lance Leopold, if UF boosters are really for real and they're watching this, go get Ryan Day. He's a proven winner. He can't beat Michigan. Can't beat Michigan, right? But like I said, if your pockets is deep and you really want to win, you could go get Ryan Day. Like, hey, like, look, we got this, all right? It's hard to leave Ohio State.
I ain't with you on that one. What you got next?
I'll say this about Ryan Day. If Ryan Day does not win big this year, I think Ryan Day will be looking for a new job. And just throwing it out there, I know that there is interest to come into Florida from Ryan Day, and I know that there's interest from somebody else at Ohio State potentially coming to Florida. Yeah, Brian, but I don't know if the fan base would want that either, right?
Hell no.
Look at this.
But I give Brian Hartline the keys of my offense, bro. Hell no.
I mean, just think realistically the names that are out there. Who's Florida going to go after? And then historically, who are they going to go after? Jamie Chadwell's one of them. Lance Leopold right now turning around Kansas, but like still under 500 in his career, right? Like fans often lack perspective, right? So if you're like, hey, Lance Leopold had a great year this year, goes 7-5, and you're like, dude, that's great for Kansas, but he comes to Florida with a record that's one game below 500 as a winning percentage. Like, I mean, that's the predicament that Florida finds himself in, you know?
Yeah. Here's the thing. Whoever they hire has got to be dynamic, big enough a name to keep this roster in check. Like, the days of you being able to go make these petty hires and not worry about mass exodus, those days are gone. Like, players could bolt now, and they're getting hit up right now. They're tampering with our roster right now. I can guarantee you that.
They texted Trey Wilson right now, like, hey, bro, we got triple figures for you right now to come down here and play football.
The tampering.
Yeah, I think this thing is Lane Kiffin a bust, in my opinion, bro, if you're trying to keep this roster intact, bro. If you don't – because he's got that – the players know who he is, like, straight up. And anybody else, I think those other names could be some good X and O guys, but you'll be right back to a rebuild. I think a lot of players are going to vote.
Could get Lincoln Riley, too, or Dan Lanning, but Dan Lanning not leaving Oregon.
Dan Lanning just turned down Alabama.
Listen, no disrespect to
– Lincoln Riley wanted to come to Florida 2 years ago.
I don't know why they told him no. Like, that's not, like that doesn't make sense.
Because people would be frustrated at – him too, right? Like, I mean, they beat LSU yesterday, so we have a little bit of recency bias, but like, he had Caleb Williams, who won the Heisman Trophy, underperforming the last 2 years, right? Or at least the last year, right? So that's the thing, man.
Defense was good, but he got the X's and O's, man. He can recruit. He can do
we gotta get to the next caller.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Hey, appreciate you. Appreciate the congratulations as well, my guy.
All right. Coach Pierre, coming to us from his Central Florida rural
base. You guys hear me? You're muted.
In the basement?
No, you're good now.
All right, I'm back.
In the basement, bro?
I don't know, man. It's like, you ever watch Remember Titans when no one wanted to block for Buddy, and they brought in Sunshine, and then they started blocking?
That's what it felt like. Is that a Michigan shirt you got on?
I lost my internet in my house.
Oh, yeah, I bet with that Michigan shirt on. What you got? That's our offense.
My internet's all bad. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, you got to get out of your basement, bro. It's rural.
Rural Central Florida basement. No, you're
my internet went down.
Yeah, we're just
my internet went down. My internet went down. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just hard. 3 years, and it's just the same song and dance.
Yeah.
I mean, without Osiris Torrance, how much worse is it really?
A lot worse, probably.
I got a Michigan shirt. Don't mind that. I'm from Ohio.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, okay. You from Ohio and got on a Michigan shirt. There's a lot going on here, bro.
And on a Florida podcast.
Lots to unpack. No, don't worry. Yeah, it's just frustrating. You know, it's we just think right now, so it's hard to keep selling these lies to all these people over here in the side of town.
Yeah.
Hey, bro, Braxton found no trouble telling
him. Yeah, yeah,
Braxton,
yeah.
Braxton came in here and was like, playoff is still attainable.
11-1. All we need is 9 wins, Nick.
We got Lagway, so here we go. 11-1 ain't far off.
Yeah.
I got one for you. What could Billy
Hey, the Streets saying next caller, coach. You got to get it popping, coach, period. Yeah, the Streets is saying next caller.
Coach, what
could we got a tough audience around here.
Internet's bad. My internet's bad.
You're good, Nick. What's your question?
What could Billy Napier do that could bring you back onto his side? Be like, yeah, he should stay.
Nothing, Nick. All right, we got Charles.
Coach Charles, not ready for big stage.
Charles, what do we got, brother?
What's up, brothers? I'm over here. I grew up in Southeast Florida, down in Fort Myers. So I went to the same school with Walter Vaughn and all them places. You know, I'm from that area. I now live in Georgia.
That's the nastiest high school highlight tape ever, and that was on YouTube back before anyone looked at YouTube.
I'm sorry,
Noel Devine, who went to West Virginia.
Let I know Noel. You, yeah,
that guy right there. It literally, as good as he was done so dirty by North High. It was literally, all right, turn the ball, hand off.
Yep.
And he still made it big and screwed Deion Sanders out of money. And that makes me happy as all get out. But no, I mean, there ain't nothing Billy Napier can do to save this nation. I am all about, you know, diehard Gator fan, you know. But, dude, when you got the sunshine pumpers falling off your train, when you done ran off the high top, and he's already like, I can't do this no more, and he ain't pumping no more. You ran off Sheldon. You got a problem.
Yeah.
Sheldon said last night that he's done pumping sunshine. But no, like I said, they need what Graham Mertz need to do is do what was responsible. I think he can go in the fourth or fifth round. He'd be a good quarterback. He's a pocket passer. If he gets a line in front of him in the NFL, he'd be good to go. Tell the fan, hey, look, y'all, I got injury prone. I'm going to call it a season. Bring DJ in. Put Eugene back there. Put some of them young bucks in, the running backs, and let's run a spread offense like Urban Meyer. I still want Billy fired. I don't care if he goes 11-1 or wins the national championship. That man's got to go. And Rob Sale needs to be left on the tarmac. They need to take him down to Gainesville Airport and leave him there, because ain't nobody in Gator Nation want that fool coaching at all. I'd rather take the guy working at Lowe's. At least he brought some life.
John Hennessy.
Yeah, I'm
not Hevesy, wild right boy.
Now. Yeah, no, Hevesy. Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, listen, he gotta be better than Rob Sales. All I'm saying.
Listen, I was following you for a minute there. You lost.
Hey,
get Steve Adazio from the box, the SEC plus box. Bring Steve down. Let him coach.
That gotta be better than Rob Sales right now. That fool ain't brought a single 5-star, and we got 2 5-stars that went to Miami and made us look stupid, and because we didn't get them. I mean, come on now, Mark. Man, that joker down there is an insult to us. Then go over there, have them players insult our fans, and Katie Turner got to stand up and be the Gator in her to defend the recruits. Man, y'all, this place is pathetic right now. I hate it.
Oh, I'm with you, bro. It was all on our furniture. Yeah, bro. Same here. Like, from a lot of disrespect was going down.
We got all this money out here and all this. We built these big old multi-million-dollar facilities. Oh, we going to fix this. We going to fix that. Urban Meyer did with the whole have nothing. Steve Spurrier did with nothing. I mean, he had the same old rugby behind rooms underneath the stadium, and they both won national championships. I mean, come on now. There's got to be something going on. We need to leave Strickland, Billy, Sale, all of them right there on tarmac right now in Gainesville, as far as I'm concerned. And I thought it was hilarious that Billy really thought that there was a basement in Central Florida. Come on.
Yeah.
It's a pool, baby. That's a pool. You dig down, you're hitting water.
Exactly. But y'all be easy. I love y'all's show. I'm loving it. I really do. I enjoy all y'all points of view. Keep it up. And by the way, we need to get some Pouncy Twins back down there to do some coaching.
Hey. Oh no, they're living big in Fort Lauderdale, baby.
In Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, they're doing all right
with their whiskey. But y'all be easy, guys.
Yeah, appreciate you, Charles. Thanks for coming, brother. Yeah. Jeez Louise, pause. All right,
that's crazy. Pouncy would have Kodak at practice off the Black and Miles and some cognac for show. You know what I'm saying? Like practice would definitely be lit.
I think it's just crazy. I think it's crazy to think about. Billy Napier said, and we all talked about, this was the best team he's ever had, and they got absolutely just brought to the woodshed by the number 19 team in the country. It
is. This is the best roster he's had at Florida.
That's facts.
Yeah, and he got absolutely taken to the woodshed by the number 19 team in the country, right? It's not like you lost to the defending national champions.
Miami's good. We won't find out. We won't know, right?
And like
I was asking some of the writers, I was like, what are like the rest of the tough games? They were like Louisville. And I went, what? Like Louisville, Florida State. I was like, that was the list.
And you're gonna see some of those terrible teams play Miami way tougher than we did because we're just not a good football team. That's what you're gonna see. You're gonna be like, everybody's gonna be comparing this. The fans are gonna compare everybody that faced Miami for the rest of the season, they're gonna compare them to Florida, and that's gonna be the barometer for a lot of different things. But I think we'll find out what both programs are. I don't think we're a very good football team, and it just showed from top to bottom. It's one thing when you lose a football game and it looked like, you know, competence, but when you're just getting manhandled as like scheme wise, coaching wise.
Whenever we blitz,
they already was throwing what we were blitzing from a corner blitzes. You know, there's no time where we reacted to something or counter reacted with anything we had going on. We didn't have plays that bounced off other plays. Like the play actions never made sense. Like nothing, there was no rhyme or reason for anything on Saturday. Like the one caller was saying that the defense played well. Like I just don't think they did, man. There were some bright spots there.
Yeah.
With the linebackers, and of course, like there's some times where we should have had coverage sacks. The DBs played well, but from a total standpoint, the scheme was vanilla. And the little success we got early, the few success we got early, you saw Miami adjust to it. Our coaches never adjust to a thing, not one single thing. And that's just like, you can't, I don't see them surviving, bro. Every coach on that we facing are better coaches than what we have.
Yeah.
I think staff, from a staff position, and this is rare with Florida. There's very few times where people just have completely better staff than us, and this is one of those times where I think every staff we face is probably better than us.
Yeah, I think there is a path in terms of wins and the way that it looks that Billy Napier is still your coach.
When?
In 2025. Oh. I think you need to beat A&M, Mississippi State. I don't see Florida beating Tennessee. I've never at one point this offseason said I think Florida's going to Knoxville winning.
Coach.
Nico's that dude too. And when I said that, people were like, why? Because he ran for a couple touchdowns against Iowa. I was like, Iowa would be the best defense Florida played last year. And yeah.
Oh, they were like top five defense in college football last year. Yeah.
Nico, yeah. So I'm not going to add that, but if you win your first, you beat Kentucky, you beat UCF, you beat Mississippi State, you beat A&M, you look competent against Georgia, you look competent at Texas. If you beat LSU, you beat FSU, like seven wins, if that's attainable, 7-5, Billy Napier's coaching in 2025. 6-6, I think, depending on how it looks, Billy Napier's coaching.
Yeah, I just don't know if he gets that far. Right. And I don't know what Florida's situation is at the athletic department, you know, obviously having an interim president that has that power. But like, again, there's a lot of fans that want Scott Strickland fired. Right. There's a lot of fans that want Billy Napier fired. I don't know in which order that could potentially happen or if those options, the first option, Scott Strickland being fired, is even on the table. Right. Because like there's metrics, there's fundraising, there's everything else, but it's like he doesn't get another football coaching hire, like that's what we say, right? But could he?
Sure.
Is Kent Fox right now your president? Does he care enough to say, hey, you don't get a third head coach, right? Does the board of directors care so much about that to say you don't get a third one? Or hey, like Dan Mullen flailed out because he wanted to go coach in the NFL and now he's retweeting shit about him, like, oh, you got fired because you gave up on your team. Like, that's why you're not coaching. You gave up, you quit on them, and all you wanted to do was go chase a job in the NFL. So you can have sour grapes and everything else. I don't give a care in the world about what Dan Mullen thinks about him getting fired. But then you play the, hey, Dan Mullen didn't work out, but he's like the guy that was the offensive coordinator in Florida One. Okay, like it didn't work out. Billy Napier, hot offensive coordinator, a guy that was getting interviewed at South Carolina and Tennessee, kind of turned down those jobs. And to come to Florida, does he get another opportunity to hire an ex-head coach? But like, I mean, Scott Strickland might be the most hated athletic director in college sports right now.
That boy's a war criminal. Yeah, get Scott Strickland out of here. You don't let him hire anybody in the cafeteria. Like, don't let him hire the janitor in the building. He shouldn't be hiring anybody right now. Like, you look over our entire sports program, there's a lot to be desired, bro. And you look at his track record since he's got here, it's just not a beautiful thing, man. And if you want the program to be fixed, accountability's got to start at the top. We've been saying that for a while. Like, how much does Florida really care about football? And it wasn't just, oh, these guys are trying to spin and sunshine pump. No. Like, from a totality, how much do we really care about football? Because we're letting anybody be hired around here. Like, Scott Strickland made a very lazy hire when he brought Dan Mullen in. Like, while Dan had some immediate success from a program visionary, you know, long-term situation, it was a bad hire. Like, Dan Mullen, this was always a stepping stone job for him. He was trying to get to the NFL. And then your next hire is Billy Napier with no big boy experience. He comes in here with a crazy format of army staff. Like, you're putting all this stuff into, like, making this big staff, and it doesn't pan out. Like, nah, bro, we need to bring in somebody that know what they're doing. We could go back to McElwain. That hire, I remember when they did it, when Foley was in the window, and I seen that hire. I was like, why is he at McElwain house? Like, who is McElwain? I'm Googling to find out who this guy
that's
is.
That's what everybody wanted, a Nick Saban disciple. And he was doing all right at Colorado State, but no, you're right. If this happens, what if Kent Fox is like, all right, I've had enough. Scott Strickland, you're done. Time to pack up. Interim AD Jeremy Foley. I just want to see the
internet. Bro. Oh, my God. We putting on Viking hats, bro, but it's got to start at the top, bro. Like, you got to have some accountability. We putting on Viking hats, bro. Like, we got to revolt like Tennessee did that, right? Like, who? That's how they got hype.
Great.
They tried to bring in, Schiano, and everybody revolted.
Clay Travis led the internet revolt.
Yeah.
Hey, well, Florida is Tennessee right now. It's just reset. Wrong hire. Reset. Wrong hire. Reset. Wrong hire. And we had fun. We had the giggles. Pointing and laughing up at Knoxville.
It was Tennessee turn, right?
Yeah. That shoe's on the other foot right now.
Yeah, I think they just got no shots at Muschamp, but Muschamp wasn't a proven head coach. He was a coordinator. He was one of the top coordinators in the country at Texas at that time, but he was a coordinator. We got to treat this program like what it is, bro. This is a Fortune 500 company. Fortune 500 company don't go hire CEOs with no experience. Like, you got to go get a guy with some real experience to run a real-ass franchise here, bro. This is big boy football with billions of dollars attached to it. Mm-hmm. Like, go make real hires. Stop with this trying people out stuff, bro. Like, it's people love this, man. And people spend a lot of money to go support it, to bring their families around it. Like, just make good hires, bro. That's where I'm at with it. You know, like, I don't want to deal with all these projects anymore. I don't want to fake cheer for a guy that we got that's going to be figuring it out on the fly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's frustrating, right? Because Nick, you're on mute.
I keep hearing, and I get it. Some people are like, we keep firing head coaches after 3 years. Who's going to want the job? Buddy, Dan Mullen's getting paychecks till 2027.
Kelly wanted the job. We're talking about who wants the job. Lincoln Riley wanted the job.
I don't know how serious that was.
What do you
mean? I don't know that I'm leaving LA for Gainesville either. Actually, I might leave LA.
We know his agent reached out to Florida when the opportunity was over, right? We don't know how serious.
He's not with Trace Armstrong anymore. That's not his agent anymore. It's a different agency now.
Yeah, but this was.
No, I'm saying when this job came open, like Brian Kelly, we laughed at LSU fans for getting Brian Kelly and not going to get Napier. Like, no, big names reached out for this job. Like Chip Kelly reached out at that time for this job. Like the big names have reached out in the past. Scott Frost didn't work out at, you know, Nebraska, but he was a big name also in the past that reached out. But University of Florida, Tennessee has been to go get the unproven project. And you just can't do that no more in college football. Not Florida with a brand this big. Done that,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, going back, I mean, I don't know if Florida ever has hired a proven head coach, right? I mean, Steve Spurrier was at Duke and he had some success there before coming to Florida, but obviously he played at Florida. Ron Zook was your special teams coordinator. Urban Meyer had done well at Utah, but still relatively unknown. It was what, his second year at Utah after coming there from Bowling Green, right? And then you talked about Muschamp, then McElwain. Dan Mullen was probably your most proven head coach that Florida's ever hired, and that obviously didn't work out. You know, so then you go to Billy Napier, and then what do, right? That's the hard part, right? It's like you should be able to go get a big name. There's no reason why Florida can't go get a big name. They just consistently choose not to.
Yeah.
You feel
that's the scary part.
You felt some type of way when I mentioned that UCF would not be a cakewalk on the show when you found out.
Yeah,
I said on the show when you weren't here.
You think I'm not gonna lie about UCF? I'm still gonna lie, man. You still about to catch these hands. Like a lot of teams on our schedule, we're gonna lose to, but we can't just be folding to UCF. We'll see what's up with it. We'll see how many games they win. I'm not confident about this team in any capacity, and it's not the players on the field. I think we're a way more talented team than UCF, but these coaches aren't good coaches. They need to go back down to Louisiana and get some more reps because this is big boy football.
You're
like, there's no way they prepare for 8 months.
They're going back to the double A.
Yeah, there's no way they prepare for 8 months, and that's what we saw. Like,
yeah,
I'm sorry. There's no way they're locked in. Like, I don't know if they melted in. I'm gonna be real with you. It feels like this team was not prepared at all. And for game one, not to be prepared in a matchup that big. Bro, there's no way they're locked in and focused on this team. They may be locked into them buyouts. They may be in Dan Mullen ready to hit a pool type mode. But what I saw on Saturday wasn't a focused coach in any capacity, bro. I've been around sports a long time. Game one coming out that flat, that unorganized, no rhythm, nothing. Like, there's no way. I think the practice, whatever they're putting out scrimmage-wise, the clips, like, it's a lot of orchestration going on, just like the spring game, in my opinion. But there's no way this team is really battling and competing and working on real football for like and come out that flat. I just don't see it, bro. I'm tired of ranting. My bad.
No.
It's just frustrating, cuz.
Yeah, I know. We appreciate everybody for watching. While you're watching, make sure you hit the like button. I appreciate Miami fans giving us super chats. We'll just throw that up there. Miami's legit this year. Appreciate your money. But all the
Canes, you know, he's charging back that $5.
Yeah,
100%.
You could take that up with YouTube and your credit card, not with the Stadium Gale LLC.
Yeah, it's a lot of work for $5, like disputing that.
No, I mean, we appreciate your money, though. You know, at the end of the day, we are a show that is being open and honest about where Florida's at right now. So it's disappointing. Definitely not the conversation I thought we'd be having a week ago.
Here's what's funny. Like, this Miami fans in the comments saying they think they delusion. They have money to pay Lane Kiffin. Bro, you really think that University of Miami has more money than the University of Florida? And you think Lane Kiffin been tweeting about the Florida job for all these years, why he's had the Ole Miss job for no reason? You think he's trolling Billy Napier, who's not a coach he plays on a regular for any reason? Nah. Of course he wants the job, bro. Of course he wants to come to University of Florida, this rich state, you know, of talent. Well, he ain't got to be. I'm not saying Mississippi's no slouch and they got to bag themselves. But if you think Florida job is not enticing to Lane Kiffin, and if this staff or this administration had the balls to get him, it's poachable. It will happen.
Yeah.
100%.
So here's the issue. Ole Miss very well could be a playoff team. They could be playing into December, into January.
For sure.
So if that's your guy and that's who you want, when do you get Lane Kiffin? Logistically speaking, he's not leaving Ole Miss if they're in the playoff to come start recruiting for Florida.
You just wait it out. This is a long-term move. You can't be hasty about what, you know, like you just got to wait it out. And Lane, your guy, you know, they're not going to telegraph that to everybody, but we'll kind of like, you know, I think if it's Lane's to do, it'll be kind of publicly and people would know. And you just let it play how it play. Whenever they lose, you make your move and you take that hire. But you got to go out to a real guy and be patient. You just can't keep resetting this thing, bro. And I think you can't go to an inexperienced guy. You got to go with somebody that can keep the roster intact, that has experience building rosters, that has won at a high level, that has offensive experience, a track record of winning NFL and college, bro. It's just that's the only, to me, the only home run on the field. Like, you got to deal with the shenanigans off the field with Lane. Single man. When he was down in Boca, he got
not
busy.
Single anymore. He's got a
got a lady. Got a His girlfriend. Ex-wife was a Gator. That's John Reeves' daughter. Yeah.
Okay. So we got rid of him on frat row. That's good.
I mean, who knows? I don't think so, but who knows?
Yeah, I think like anybody that's a rival fan saying they think Florida, there's a lack of money at the University of Florida. You just have a lack of knowledge, bro. And like the Bible says, that's why people perish from a lack of knowledge. Go get you some information.
I saw a former head coach that looked pissed sitting next to the guy he had to sit next to during college game day on Saturday. I'm just kidding.
Nick Saban?
He looked so over Pat McAfee by about 4 minutes.
That's hilarious. He's like,
I got 13 more weeks of this going on. I'm just kidding. Yes, Florida's not going to go and get Nick Saban, nor
well. I think it's going to be Nick Saban would probably just be your safeties coach. Mike McDaniel,
I like that.
Would be the OC. Urban Meyer's head coach, maybe Urban Meyer just for special teams. And
Pantone as your GM.
Yeah. Who can we get as head coach if Herb's coaching special teams?
Bill Belichick. Stokes
not having my shenanigans.
Yeah, Bill Belichick.
No, I'm really in coach mode, bro. Like, I'm done.
Deion Sanders is not coming to Florida, and Florida's not going to go after Deion Sanders.
I hope we get to clip that, and it's the new intro to the show.
I hope so too.
I don't like Prime has a lot. They almost caught hands this past weekend in North Dakota State. Mm-hmm. Now we got to get a proven State's guy.
Good. That quarterback can play.
Nick, that's not the point. Not the point. All right, guys. Any more venting you guys want to get off your chest? We got 12 more weeks or 11 more weeks. I will watch every week.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, we're fans. That's why we care.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got opinions. This is not critical of any particular player that's put in there, at least in my thoughts here that I'm saying. Not saying that you guys disagree. My thoughts are this isn't any direct criticism of any player in saying that they're not trying, they're not putting their body out there to sacrifice for long-term health issues and everything else that comes with it. I'm going to cheer for the school. I'm going to cheer for the individual players. I want them to do well. I want them to succeed. I want them. They have achieved things that 99% of people that play football will never get the opportunity to do. And hopefully they get the chance to go to the NFL. This is a direct criticism of those that get paid millions of dollars to prepare the team. And they just did not look prepared at all.
Whatsoever. And that's my biggest gripe, the lack of preparation, the lack of any progress from year one to year three.
Or real accountability, right? I mean, I'm not hearing any accountability. I mean, I heard a little bit that that's on me.
There's accountability.
Is there?
Not if you need to show progress after the accountability, but I think there is accountability.
Here's the thing.
I think there's a difference between saying there's accountability and having accountability.
Right. I think it's a facade of accountability. Like, okay, saying, yeah, it's my fault that the offense isn't doing whatever. It's just like when Muschamp's like, oh, that's on me. I'll get it fixed. Like, it sounds like accountability on a verbal instance, but accountability is the offense really did struggle. And there was some fans saying, well, it wasn't why we lost. The offense isn't why we lost. It's defense. No, like the offense was okay, and that's not good enough here. And you're like, you're just not, you don't have any chemistry. We talked about it when he came on our show. So from accountability standpoint, it's really holding yourself accountable to the facts of what this offense is, you know, and listening to the fans, the media, everybody that's telling you, hey, man, this offense isn't smooth. Do you think you should probably give the keys away? People that are really trying to support the program, and there's no accountability in that standpoint. It was no, the offense is fine. I'm going to continue to play, call the plays, and it never got fixed. And then when it goes bad, yeah, that's on me. That's not accountability. That's a facade of accountability. Accountability is actionable, not verbal.
Right. I mean, you have two offensive line coaches. You've
no accountability in that room.
You've put one that was a transfer from your old school that, yes, great player, went to the NFL. You've had some development out of Jake Slaughter and Austin Barber. Left side of the line didn't look that bad. You lose one of your offensive line coaches. Then you go and you get a quality control coach. And again, this isn't critical. Like, I'm not at practice. None of us are at practice, right? But you look at the team and you're like, in your third season where you've been able to go and get your guys and develop your guys, and you have a transfer portal to go get guys, that is the best that you put out there. That to me is not accountability.
Yeah. Big lack of accountability.
Q Lee puts up Swaggy P level shots in the gym in the comments every week, and then we give him a chance to come on and speak his mind.
Oh, he said I'm cooking. Shout out to Q Lee, bro. Yeah, but yeah, I like Q Lee.
Still just there. Q Lee, we had a link. You could have come on. You could have
come kick it.
You could have saved your fingers from texting.
Yeah, it's a bit like a lack of accountability is like what Dan was saying. In the O-line room, we all knew there was a problem. Two offensive line coaches, we talked about it from recruiting, development, and in every standpoint. Like, you got to fire somebody and make some changes. Nothing happened. And, you know, so it's just, to me, it sounded like accountability, but it just never happened. And the ego won. And mm-hmm. In college football, you got to be like water. You got to be able to change, make changes on the fly, whether it's halftime, in at some point in your coaching tenure. But there were no real changes. It's like we've been moving to, you know, or reacting to everything. It was nothing progressive in it, or just initiated in our standpoint. When we went and got new coaches, it was because somebody left. But, like, we should have fired some of those guys before they even left.
Right.
So, I don't know, bro. Like, it's just
– those are the –
we had to react to the strength and conditioning coach, like, leaving. And everybody was saying, oh, the new coach is fine. No, bro. Like, we're reacting to a lot of things, bro. Like, right. And we seem like we're always behind the eight ball. When's the last time we had real good news, like a real good win? This has been a long time where anything good has really happened that we can, like, substance that we can celebrate, not a commit, like, Utah. Real things. Utah.
Utah game one.
How long ago?
Yeah.
Tennessee last year.
Yeah, the Tennessee game Tennessee last year. There was some excitement, and then that balloon got deflated, what, the next week against Kentucky?
Correct.
So now the Gators sit at – there's no line for the Samford game, but I believe – they are underdogs, or at least the ESPN FBI has them as not favored to win a single game for the rest of the year. Not saying that Florida's going to go 1-11, but that's where Florida finds itself today on your best team that you've had. Could things change? Absolutely. Right? Will the team that played on Saturday look like that all season? I hope not. Right, in the reverse of the Kodak, but it could, like, I mean, yeah, we said we would rather. Well, I said, Isaac, I would rather play Miami in game one before we played them in game six or seven, because I thought that they would get better. That team might be a playoff team. That team could go very far. We don't know. We'll see. But we got absolutely torched the entire game. In fact, the only highlight that I can remember outside of the DJ Lagway touchdown, the Montrell Johnson run, was Rocco Underwood going and making a tackle downfield and then standing over him like, dude, we're down by 28 points. Let's just run back to the sideline here. But those are the highlights that I remember.
No, I lied after Shamar James. Yeah, I started lying. I got crunk. I was lit at the tailgate after that pick. And then we got three, and I was like, all right, bro, we got a real problem here. real problem. After turnover like that, you got to get seven at home, man.
The Miami fans in the chat, why do you guys just need to go like Eminem 8 Mile? Like, it sucks that your stadium is 45 minutes away from your campus. It sucks. Don't defend it. Like, it sucks. Yeah. But also, now's your time to talk. You won in Gainesville, in an actual stadium on campus. Like, but I find it so weird that they need to like defend the fact that they don't have an on-campus stadium.
Brenter's no, we can't even like, go yo, disrespect their facilities like that. We can't go stand on.
I am a bum.
Dolphins.
Yeah.
I do want to get a trailer with my mom.
We had two super chats. D, this long time ago, $342 MF dollars for this game. I've had enough. Mm-mm-mm. And then, well, 32. Hey, fam. UCF is now favored in our game. See you, Billy. That's kind of what I was getting at before. Like, when we talked about apathy, like, we're having this conversation on Saturday. It was my friend Allie Gardner's birthday. She played softball at UF. She had a bunch of Gator fans over at her house. I was like, going up to Gainesville now, if you want to go and stay in a hotel, it's a 2-night minimum. Your cheapest hotel is probably $600-$700 a night for a decent one, probably, you know, at least $500 a night. So there's $1,000, right? You go out to dinner, you tailgate, do all that stuff, add another $400 in there. Now you're at another $200. So now it's like $2,000 just to go up at a minimum to go up to Gainesville for the weekend. Like, does that start to really play into effect, right? And like, then the Gainesville economy gets into, you know, some tougher situations, and then all of a sudden, you know, Gainesville starts to fall, then there's, you know, warfare, and then ultimately ends in nuclear war. That's what happens here.
Sell white boy beers only. That's funny. that's funny. Hey, I'm from South Florida, baby. That's not Hard Rock. That's Joe Robbie. It's pro player. Joe Robbie. They can pay whatever they want. It's always Joe Robbie to me, baby. Watch the 97 World Series one there, Dan. Tough way. Tough last 48 hours. Silk.
Canes, Cats, Heat 305 said I sit in the 72 club in the shade with food and drinks and games while sitting with students in the sun. Just up your money and buy better tickets next time. All right, guys. Any other final thoughts before we get out of here? Nick, you have song of the week.
Yeah, I got that's already locked in.
What is it?
Falls Down, When It All Falls Down by Kanye West will be the song for the week.
All Falls Down by Kanye West. Mm. All right, guys, we're going to do this same time next week. I expect a Gator victory over Samford. If not,
we'll be talking. We will do if Florida loses to Samford, we will. I don't do coaching boards, hot boards until it's a job that's open.
Yeah.
If Florida loses to Samford, we will do a coaching hot board for you next week.
Absolutely. Well, it's a great show. Appreciate everybody for watching. And before you leave, make sure you hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, hit the share. Thanks for all the callers that came in. Let's do two quick ad reads. Forgot to do them. Home Field Apparel. Go visit them. Best vintage logos in the game. Ton of products out there for the University of Florida and about 100 different other schools, including Miami. For those Miami fans that are listening, you can use our promo code StadiumAndGale at checkout. Yeah, you're welcome. And then finally, go visit our friends over at Alumni Hall. If you're in Gainesville on Archer Road, go visit them online at alumnihall.com. Anything that you'd want for Gators accessories, anything tailgating, T-shirts, polos, golf tees, golf balls, anything that you might want for University of Florida football, as well as any sport at the University of Florida. Quick, I'm him. Super Chad, whoever the new head coach will have to bring his own quarterback because Lagway is gone 100%.
Players go, man. You got a program to run. New coach, you got to go get them a quarterback or whatever it may be, if that's the case. But players come, players go. Yep. But at the end of the day, you don't have a coach, you don't have a program, straight up.
Yep, absolutely. All right, guys. Well, we appreciate everybody for watching, everybody for contributing. Thanks for all the super chats. We will see you guys next week.